Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello, listener. This is the president of movies, Tom Cruise. Unfortunately, my good friends Levins and Angus encountered the Entity this week, and it corrupted the audio of this episode. As a result, they are uploading this week's episode of PayFam to the main feed. But if you want to hear the main episode first in all its Entity corrupted glory, head to patreon.com/heyfam. Be warned, what you are about to hear contains spoilers from my motion picture mission, Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1. See you at the movies.
Damn. Sadler Rascals are
crazy. Sadler Rascals.
We're recording?
Straight away.
Yeah,
man.
Hell yeah. The Sadler Rascals are crazy. I'm so into the Sadler Rascals. She's one of them dressed up as Jack Sparrow, the mom.
Great.
Yeah.
Blech,
I want to know. So what's really curious, these kids are both under the age of 12.
Yep.
And they've had this account for 11 years. Sorry, they're both under the age of 11. Were they always the Sadler Rascals before they had like the kids? Or was it like a brand rebrand?
Oh, well, they have a bunch of save stories, which is called Funny, and it's just pictures of memes that they've shared.
We're going to find out by the end of this that one of them's Milkshake Dog. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
We've been promoting this, like, I mean, I'm into it.
Milkshakes for din-dins, yum. Sadler Rascals.
Halloumi Burger was...
They love the Mario movie.
They hate me.
Do you reckon they've seen Mission Impossible 7 yet?
Nah, I don't think it's their vibe.
Not very rascally.
It's a little too rascally, I think. Dude, you need to get a family logo that's like that.
It's so heavy.
Levin's Rascals.
I don't put the kids in any of my content anymore. Officially made the call.
Oh, that's... Yeah, I think... Did you see, like, kids are suing, like, their parents now for, like, having a digital footprint? Like, so the first wave of
kids?
Yeah,
they don't understand. They're like, why aren't I in your video anymore, Dad? I'm like, well, you know, your voice can be and, like, your hands can be.
Oh, wow. Had they asked?
They like being in my videos.
Right.
But I just, like, yeah, I've just been thinking about as it gets bigger and bigger and more people are seeing
Yeah, it's
videos.
Like safety and privacy.
Yeah, I've delisted all my old failed YouTube videos that I did with them. And, like, I'm just like, yeah, it's... I know. I was just a bit like they're in my Japan stuff, but like I feel like it's like
it's different. It's like travel.
It's them. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. It's probably like safer.
Yeah,
unlike me, just like there might be another podcast where the Sadlers are reading out your kids' videos. You know what I mean? I'm not looking at the kids. I'm just looking at the food products.
Mm-hmm.
It's no, but there was a case recently where like I think Gen Z, like there's 16 something, they're like suing their parents for posting them on social media without one. They're like, I don't want a digital footprint, and you've like made one against my will.
Do you know what my kids' gen is called?
Alpha.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Pretty sick though. They're alphas to us.
We still have the best one. And I know that's like such a like something that each person says from their own collective group. But millennials is crazy.
Yeah.
We sound like the fucking Millennium Falcon, dude. It's sick. We sound sick as hell. I'm a millennial.
Yeah. It's so funny how they go like, Generation X, Generation Y. Then now it's millennials. And then there's Generation Z.
Yeah. They always rename it, don't they? But isn't Generation Z, they call that Zoomers as well?
True.
I like Zoomer.
Zoomer's fun.
So because it just sounds like The Flash or something. Remember The Flash? Remember that came out like 3 weeks ago?
God damn.
Yeah.
It was so... It, yeah, I like...
That movie's dead. That movie is DOA.
it's crazy how which of the block, like, for you to say the movies are backed, but then knowing how many enormous flops.
Yeah.
Like, Disney hasn't had a hit.
It's insane to think that the most highest grossing DC movie in like 12 months is about Black Adam. Isn't that insane? And cause like an insane furor and restructure.
Well, I saw someone say that like talk about the new additions to the Superman cast,
mm-hmm.
and being like, okay, so it's a hero with wings, like a hawk character.
It's the same team.
It's someone who can make shapes.
Yeah, Al. Len.
And then like a smart guy, or whatever. Like, you know,
sounds like the Justice Society of America. I hope my wish is they at least honor Black Adam by giving these new heroes as much of a backstory as the ones. Is one of them hungry all the time? Is one of them Dubs?
Yeah, that's right. The one looks like Dubs. Yeah,
it's like, man, I'm so hungry. Just getting like big. And then one was like a whirlwind.
Pierce Brosnan dies in it.
Pierce Brosnan dies. He's in like two scenes and he has a helmet on for the rest of it so he doesn't have to do scenes. And he's like, farewell, old friend. I'm like, who are these people?
Yeah.
He has like the emotional death scene. And there's that little like cunt skateboarding at the start. He's like, Black Adam, I love you. He's like, I love superheroes.
Did we go to like a special event for that?
You and I went to a press screening and there were sliders, I remember, with like lightning stamped on top. But then,
no, that was Thor, wasn't it?
No, we got like Chris Hemsworth approved.
Oh my God, that's right.
Bento boxes that were like mandarins. That you picked and a sandwich. No, at Black Adam... We were at the press screening and then you and I were on our phones playing Marvel Snap for the majority. I was on it for 2 hours. I was like, I fucking hate this movie. I remember just watching it feeling like when you go to someone's place for like a kick-ons and you're like, oh, this is a shit idea.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
The idea is so much
but
better.
But I can't leave.
Yeah. And I was just like, oh man, my lift's over there. I've got to wait.
Yeah.
Oh, they're like in the room. That's a bad feeling when you show up somewhere when you're like, oh, this should have ended hours ago. And then you're like, I got to leave.
Black Adam got to be like...
Black Adam got to be one of the worst.
It's one of the worst. But also like...
Of course it's bad. It made The Rock go back to far. Like, we've tracked this. He like obviously ran back to Vin Diesel with his tail between his legs. And then also like said to Disney, we're doing Moana again.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm the only returning cast member.
Dude, you know what movie I've like... So this is School Holidays.
Is it on now, School Holidays?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh.
And I'm working all the way through
it. I was wondering why the kids I spy on at lunch weren't at school. I was wondering why the kids you post...
I'm doing a
school
holiday.
You posted your Instagrams, weren't there?
I'm doing a school holiday program like just around the corner from where you work.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're DJing.
Just near Darling Square. But...
I was near there today. Were you there today?
No, tonight, tomorrow. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Come to work on a Sunday, bro. It'll be great. But
I'm working on Saturday, though.
As soon as everyone's back at school, I'm going to watch Pain and Gain.
It's an unbelievable movie.
Michael Bay movie with Mark Wahlberg and
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
I've never seen it before.
Dude,
it looks so
phenomenal.
Good.
I saw it at the cinemas with my dad.
Oh, really?
And tech guru Steve. And then that's when I did a film show on FBI and I remember being like, I was a guest, sorry. And I gave my top 5 movies of that year and Pain and Gain was like number 3.
Amazing.
I was like, this is an amazing, dude, it's like high end art. It's an amazing film.
Everyone says it's Bay's best movie.
Yeah, it is. Hands down. I think I've seen it 3 or 4 times.
Man, I can't wait for it.
I love it.
I watched like a bunch of clips and I was like, fuck, I need to just watch this
dude,
movie.
It's an insane movie. And you know, it's like based on a true story. They're like just like gym instructors who like try to just like rob someone.
So good.
And they're just like really dumb. Yeah, it's like, it's probably like Dwayne's best because he plays like perfect peak Dwayne. But... No, I still think Hobbs in Fast Five's Dwayne's best. With the stay the fuck out of my way. And he's just walking around like a gun the size of a cannon always, like a like a handgun. Yeah, stay the fuck out of my way. And Mark's amazing in it.
Yep.
He's like, it's like Boogie Night style Mark. Like he knows.
He is a good actor. Like
dude, he's such a good actor.
It sucks that he doesn't do anything good. Like
well, I follow him on Instagram. He does some pretty good, I guess, short films.
Really short films.
He's leaving places of worship or places of getting strong. And
making a sign of the cross and saying stay prayed.
It's crazy that he wears the same shit to the gym as he does to church.
Like, you know, it's more crazy
this, like,
in there.
45 degree angle cap. Like, he wears like little like pink socks with his like sneakers, a floral like workout shirt.
Bro, I'm going in for a little taste of...
Yeah, we know. I miss our friend Mark. I miss my friend Mark.
Damn, no stories today. New HBO.
Oh, I saw him post about this.
Okay. Here's F45 hugging Flash Garrett. Now he's helping some guys work out.
He's so fun, isn't he?
He's not praying. Here we go.
He is there.
God bless.
Wow, it was a 7-second video. He still hasn't made the shoes with his workout routine.
A year ago, the schedule's on there. Well, you know what? Slight teaser alert. If he's not going to do it, maybe we should put something similar on a shirt.
Maybe two of your favorite podcasters should put it on a t-shirt. So, Mission Possible.
Dead Reckoning, P-Y-P-O.
So, we have Kittrick return from the first movie. He's Kittridge. He's so good in this.
No, I read an interview this week that apparently... But Chris McQuarrie said that Kittredge, the actor Steve, what's his name? The actor. He's like, I'm rewriting all my dialogue. And he's like, yeah, go for it. So he let like Kittredge rewrite his dialogue to be more Kittredge-y.
That's awesome.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, of course, go nuts. Kittredge.
I didn't realize that was, the whole time I'm like, who the fuck is that? The president of
It's Cary Elwes.
Yeah,
he's so good.
Yeah, I was like, of course, so good. He's so good in it.
He's so perfect for that role, like a sniveling.
I'm as sad that he gets murked that he also got murked.
Yeah, because he was such a like good villain.
Yeah.
Now, do you think so? Kittredge is there on his own accord, separate to him, right?
Do you think he's there? Like,
I'm sure we're gonna find out
for
all
the
this.
Greater good.
Or I think he thinks he's doing a good thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because even Tom is like. Ethan trusts him, and I trust Ethan. Remember, Ethan's like, you will speak to him.
Yeah.
He will grant you this. And at the end, he's there with Grace. And he's like, she's like, I accept. And like, yeah, I think he thinks he's doing it for the greater good. But as Tom says, I love we call him Tom. As Ethan says, like, I'm on the side I'm always on.
Yeah.
Stay the fuck out of my way. and I think he's like, we need to acquire it so like our enemies don't. But he's like, no one should have it. So I think he's doing it without knowing Cary Elwes is there. Because he's out back. Because it's a... And I don't know if this is part of it, but something that I find like...
Wait, so you don't think that he knew that Cary Elwes was there?
I don't think so.
Yeah, okay, right.
All right. I don't think so.
Yeah.
Because White Widow's like... There are two interested parties that want this key. One is the entity. One's the entity that wants it. I don't know one of the parties. She's like, one of them represents Gabrielle.
Right.
So I have a feeling that's the head guy.
Right.
And I think Kittredge is the other party.
Right.
I think we're going to find all this out. Also, it just requires watching it with subtitles or having a script. You know what I mean? Like to just find out because there are those bits where people drop information quiet. Because you can just watch on a base level and you're like, oh, AI bad. Like people, you know what I mean? And it works totally well. But if you're like autistic like me and you want to know like the inner machinations of like who's on what side. But then again, it's like part one is the original film, Mission Impossible 1 is like purposefully vague with people's, and that's part of its appeal.
Yeah.
So I'm like, either it's fine and you just like, it's kind of an allusion to that. But I have a feeling we're going to be finding out a lot more. I think that they're independently of one another. Like, I think that Kittredge, because they're not working together. They're like different departments.
Yeah, true.
One's head of Homeland Security.
I guess it's because we see them both in the same scene earlier.
Yeah, and they're like a group of people that scene. They're like the heads of all the...
There's a lot of fucking goats in that scene.
So many goats. They're the heads of like different departments.
Charles Parnell, he's one of the...
Yeah, Charles Parnell's there. I mean, you got Rob Delaney, like the famous tweeter who became like a little
bit
of a star.
This.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, he's fantastic in it.
He's well suited to a role like that.
Totally.
Where he's not like... He's amusing, but he's not quipping. Like,
No, he's great. He's so good.
He taught me that it was okay to have a vasectomy.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
He did a big public post about why it's cool to get one.
Dude,
I was already thinking about it, but he wrote a good one.
I was thinking about it.
He prepared me for some of the weird pain.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And now look at him. He's in an MI movie.
The Dream.
So I think that they're independently, and I know obviously the train itself is a throwback to, you know, it's a steam engine.
Yep.
It's a throwback to Buster Keaton's The General. I think it even has like something general printed on the side when I noticed when it's going down. That movie is about like a train called The General, like the famous, probably the most famous Buster Keaton movie where he's like running on top of the train, like all this like crazy stuff, which funnily is like, you know, this movie is essentially just doing again, which is so cool to see like 100 years of film and we're still like, you know, rushing out in droves to see like see a motherfucker run on a train. You know all the train fight sequence, that's all real.
Yeah.
Cause like any other movie would do that, not like the fact they're shooting it outdoors and like ducking on the train and getting, I'm like, that's insane.
Do you reckon Shea Whigham did all his stunts?
Of course he did. I reckon he did. But one thing, and I'm like, obviously that steam engine is like a throwback to The General, but I was also like, did they pick that train? Did the entity pick that train because, or someone picked that train because none of it's connected. It's all steam powered.
Oh, right.
And I was like, that's kind of cool if that's a thing.
Yeah.
Because it's like no one can interfere.
Yep.
It's like a thing that's like literally, we see it's being like shoveled by coal, powered by coal.
Maybe I was going to say MVP of this movie, Shea Whigham or Pom Klementieff, but maybe it's the old guy who gets hung by the train, by the train whistle.
Call him Toot Toot.
Yeah, Toots.
It's look, it's Shea Whigham's
the MVP. That was when I was like, oh wait, Gabrielle's definitely not in on the, like
he's speeding up the train.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's speeding it up.
He throws one eyed old guy off the side and then
that's evil shit.
Hangs the other guy with the
whip. Shea Whigham. I mean, I could talk for hours about that fucking the canon of Shea Whigham.
I love that he's who wakes Ethan up from killing Gabriel.
Yeah.
Because you think it's going to be like Grace or like Benji or whatever, like Shea. You know, who know that if he kills Gabriel.
Or Luther comes back somehow and is like, don't do it, Ethan.
Yeah. But it's just, Hunt.
He's so good. Dude.
Yeah.
He's so good.
It's fucking incredible. I'm very excited to see what they do with him in the next movie.
Yeah.
Because his partner is already Ethan Pilled. Like
his partner's like, well, why you know, he's like,
what if he's right? Yeah.
He always goes rogue. That's such a good bit.
The best thing about Shea Whigham in this movie is that I was convinced that he's been in multiple Missions Impossible.
That's the best thing you can say about him. Yeah. You're just like, oh, I can't believe he's back. And you're like, no, it's his first time.
Yeah.
He always goes rogue, him and his merry men. Such a great line.
I think Hayley Atwell is so wonderful in this movie.
She's so good.
Because she so well flips between like super confident in everything that she knows about in advance.
Yeah.
But as soon as she's in over her head.
Vulnerable as hell.
So vulnerable.
Yeah, and does it really well.
And it's part of it's a refreshing. Massive part of the reason why the train falling down scene is so awesome.
Oh, because of her shit scaredness. Just
being fucking terrified.
When he's like, you have to let go
and
of
she,
me.
Yeah, and I she's love like, it. And she can't talk. There's no.
Dude, she is so good in this movie. She's like the MVP for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just think it like she's refreshing for this movie series.
Yeah.
We've never seen a character that's like learning on the job.
And they're she fucks like, up heaps. Like
she fucks up heaps.
It's because of her, you know, like neither because of her stealing the knives from the nightclub. One of the knives that she steals ends up in Ilsa's chest and the other one ends up in Paris's chest.
Fuck. I never noticed that.
Yeah.
Oh, of course. Yeah, she grabs them off the table. They're taken from Gabriel, aren't
they? Yeah, and I never noticed that.
And then she takes them and he takes them off her on the bridge.
Yeah, and at the beginning of nightclub, when you first see Paris in the nightclub, Pom's character, she like
has a sword. Then Ilsa takes.
Yeah, but so Ilsa just takes what I thought was like a pipe.
No, but then Paris uses a pipe in the alleyway. Finds one. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it's the sheathed sword. And then that's the sword that she then fights.
Yeah, that's what she's fighting Gabriel with. Yeah. And she's like really competent with it, which is great. I love that scene.
Oh man, that was like, it lends into my like the loop on the third bit. She's going on.
It's so cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Damn, I love this movie so much.
It's so fun, dude.
The score is so good too.
Yeah, I love it. It's quite understated in, like, for the first half, and then it like kicks into like when it just does all like the different variations on the
exactly.
Bum bum bum. Yeah,
it's so good. Did B like it?
Fucking loved it. But
it's,
like,
it's impossible.
She
to
was like sweating and like shaking, and dude, yeah, it's it was such so a good movie. Yeah. It's exhilarating. It's yeah, so, yeah.
If you haven't, yeah, my friend's watching them all for the first time. No, Kiko's only seen up till two.
Kiko, what you doing?
But he's watching one a night in the lead up to seven.
Yeah,
because school holidays, he's a teacher, and he's just like,
and he hates his kids.
Hates his kids, and he's just like, how the fuck have I not watched any of these?
He's
like, these are the best movies. He's like freaking out at how good they are. And I'm like, dude, I know. And he's like, I know you've known this, but man, he's like, I don't know what took me so long.
So the only ones I've seen once now, just the once, I think is five and three.
Yeah.
Everything else I've seen multiple times.
Yeah. Sure.
I'm not really in a rush to see three again.
Five's so good.
Five
is like the greatest deal.
So I need to watch five again because I need to work out if I like five or four more. Because
I think I like five more.
Dude, but four has so many fucking banger scenes that I forgot about when we were talking about it last week. It has the hallway projector screen.
Yeah, I remember that scene.
The
sound effect.
It's like the perfect mix of comedy, the kind of comedy this series does well. And like,
and then my favorite part about that scene is when they leave and he just like flips his shirt inside out and puts the jacket on. Remember, he's wearing like a Bruce Springsteen shirt, like civilian wear.
So good.
Yeah.
And then it also, like, we were like talking about how like after the sandstorm, you don't really remember. Dude, the fucking car park fight. And
car park fight is good.
And the way Ethan like just plummets the car into the bottom and then the airbag goes off.
Yeah. No, that's a cool scene, but I'm like, that whole last 40 minutes I find isn't as strong as.
Oh, and then the villain just fucking murks. Like, it just commits suicide.
I
just
like the villain.
Yeah.
The villain is so dog shit in it. It's a very bad villain.
Okay.
Especially coming off the strength.
Bond-like.
Bond-like and just coming off the strength of Philip Seymour Hoffman, who's just probably the best like spy movie villain at that point. He's so good in that film.
I watched his death scene just to see. It is really funny.
He just walks out, gets slammed by a car truck.
Like, Ethan kind of like throws him up, then he gets hit by a car.
Yeah, just in a like a Beijing street or something, like Shanghai street. Yeah, it's amazing. I really like three. I know that's not a popular take at the moment, but
I really like two, and it's my least favorite.
Yeah, no, three. Yeah. I really like three. I think three is the absolute blueprint for the series we have now.
Yeah, I agree.
Ethan from one and two is not the Ethan in three.
And then Tom's like, let me take over. And
but the Ethan in three is the Ethan still in Dead Reckoning.
Yeah.
And, just that great... I love the part in three that he's married. Like, I thought that it's like a soft reboot, essentially. Yeah. And I love that. I love that he keeps it hidden and goes to the store for ice and, at the end has to reveal... Like
she has no idea,
She has no idea. It's so cool. It's such a cool sequence. And then like having that tied up in Fallout, Michelle Monaghan, like I know there's also people being like, oh, women die in every Mission Impossible movie. Like Ilsa's been in three. That's like more than most. And Michelle Monaghan was in like 3, 4, 6 and has great like payoff in six.
Because she's so good in six.
She's so good. And just like, I love that.
And there's no shortage of dudes dying in this, this franchise.
Luther's the only person that's... Luther and Benji are the only people that have stuck around. Everyone dies.
Yeah.
Your motherfuckers ain't seen the first 15 minutes of Mission Impossible 1 where everybody dies.
I got to watch that again.
It's so unreal. It's so good. Man, it was sick rewatching them all recently.
Yeah. But so, all right. The next one, right?
But
after
you're about to say, sorry, you don't want to watch three again, but you want to watch five again.
Yeah, I want to watch.
Do you remember the amazing scene in? Oh no, you were saying there were bits in four that we forgot. That's right.
Yeah.
And then we went to man. Do you remember the bit in five? The amazing opera scene.
Yes, so it was like watching the recap. I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. This is like the best.
It is
opener
ever. One of. It's not an opener. It's like midway through the movie,
is it, and he shoots the politician instead of
the Prime Minister. And they're making like their sniper rifles out of like they're brought in like flutes and stuff, and they're like guns. It's such a good sequence, and it's like Ilsa, two other guys from the syndicate, Ethan, and it's just like it's an unreal scene.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch that again.
Plus, Solomon Lane is so good.
Yeah, like, totally. And then he's like, when he comes back, all fucked up.
All fucked up beard and just like being passed around by governments to extract information.
Yeah.
So good. And Alec Baldwin's also, he's in fire for the first time.
Yeah,
He's such a good foil in that movie.
Yeah.
Ah, he's like, sir, he doesn't think like you. He's just when every toy, he hates Ethan in that movie.
And then he loves him in
six. Then he loves him in the sixth. He's like, some would say what I'm doing is a sidestep.
Yeah, and Henry Cavill kills Baldwin, right? Who calls Baldwin?
Yes, he stabs him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the like Kittredge came
back. Oh my
god,
that's so funny. Lloyd just messaged and said, how Willy became Wonka looks like an SNL skit. It's in a group chat that you're not in.
Legit, dude.
That's insane.
But yeah, so Kittredge came back in this movie. Yeah. And you were saying last week that there's no shortage of returning.
Yeah, he said in the interview, Simon Pegg's like, oh, there's more people from previous films appearing in number two.
So immediately I'm like, where's Renner at?
So he's again.
He got run over by a snowmobile earlier this year.
Obviously he's got big, but also, you know, man has to toss up, you know, the one of the most critically acclaimed action films since the last two Tom Cruise movies, or Renovations on Disney Plus. It's kind of like, what do you? Obviously, you got to go with Renovations.
Yeah.
No, I know Marvel pulled him away from 5 and 6. That was the reason.
And he was in 5, right? He's in 4 and 5. No, he's in.
Sorry, pulled him away from 6.
6, right?
Yeah, but yeah, his role was reduced in 5. But he's in 5 quite a bit actually. His first role is 4.
He's great in 5. Yeah.
Yeah, he's great in 5. But he gets pulled away for 6, and that was to do with like Infinity War and Endgame.
I know this is probably an unpopular opinion. I want Renner back in this franchise.
No, I do too.
Yeah,
dude, how good it'd be if next one is like just MVPs coming back.
So who did Simon Pegg say was going to be back in?
It's the guy who is in the first film, who they put the like laxative in his drink. It's a guy that keeps going while Ethan's hacking in from the ceiling.
Right.
Yeah. So he's confirmed.
That's so funny.
Yeah. It's been confirmed.
I thought it was going to be like an actual like, whoa.
No, but that's like, so that also makes me think, okay, I reckon the source of the, either Luther's going to be back there where he's
that's
like,
that's what I mean. So I was trying to work out who, if Ren is coming back, it'll be like, he's with Luther. Or like, yeah, so
or my other theory is that like they developed the virus at Langley, because that's at the CIA when they're hacking into the CIA to get like whatever in the first film.
Okay, yeah, right. Sure.
So that might, I'm like, oh, I reckon like they started, they made the AI or something. Or
so who do you think we're going to see first in this next movie? Like, it would be pretty cool if we get a mission where Grace is in part of the team.
It'd be great if it's Kittredge giving Grace a mission and we don't see Tom for like 30 minutes.
And it's like Grace, the guy who, the Uber Eats guy from the
Uber Eats guy, and I don't know, Shay, and he's offside. Oh, man.
But what's Shay? Is he a CIA agent or is he?
So he works for, they're called the security or something, and they work for that council of people at the start.
They work for the agency.
Yeah, they work for the agency. They love pizza. No, he's like, I guess, like super CIA. Like, you know, the person you get to hunt people.
Yeah.
Who are Ethan Hunt.
Yep.
Level of hiding.
Oh, man. That scene where like...
The airport
where they're like, we could be anywhere. He's just running behind. So good.
Just seeing Shea Wiggum pull a beard off someone's face, like trying to pull a beard off.
Especially when he sees Kittredge at the end and he grabs his face straight away. Yeah. Fuck, he's good in this.
His hair is impeccable.
Yeah, it really
Shea's
is.
Shea's hair is amazing. He's got the best face.
It's so good.
And his voice is incredible. There's no one like him.
I just love him so much.
Same. He's so good. Yeah. Did you hear... So do you know about that podcast called One Heat Minute?
Oh, it's they just do 1 minute of heat every week?
Yeah. So they did that, and I think they did like Miami Vice for a while. So the guy who hosts that, Blake something, I think, he interviewed Chris McQuarrie while I was like doing the other interviews.
Oh, right.
But I saw this. I've got to find it.
Oh, now. And Chris McQuarrie knows of his podcast, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But the best part about it is...
I saw that clip.
He asked about like Shea Wiggum, and Christopher McQuarrie tells the story of how Shea Wiggum got a role. But I'm not going to say, I'll play it out. Like, I know it's like, you know, whatever, to play someone else's content, but you should go check out this video. It's on like the internet. It's
What's the account?
I'm just trying, it's called One Blake Minute. I just had to One find Blake it. Minute.
Okay, cool.
But he tells a story about it. Yeah, it's just
Katie Walsh for the LA Times said the addition of Shea Wiggum's face frustrated
his
exasperation is exactly what I didn't know that I needed in a Mission Impossible movie, but I and obviously the legendary Tarzan from Maverick together as a double act. Tell me about him being in the movie, because he's just, as Jasper Breeze, he's just fantastic.
Shay approached me at a party in Los Angeles. We were at a dinner party. I had never met him. I deeply admired him, and he walked up to me and said, "Man, I love what you guys do. I love Mission Impossible. I want to be in a Mission Impossible." And he said, "How do I get in Mission Impossible?" And I said, "This is it."
That's it, but just him going straight.
Man, I love Mission Impossible.
Just him going straight to Shea Whigham's voice. Like, how sick is that?
That rules.
How good is that scenario too? Yeah. Sort of, and him just walking up to Christopher Croker.
Man, like,
man, I want
to be. There's nothing I'd want more than to be approached by Shea Whigham at a party,
asking to be in your movie. Yeah, but how good is that? That's how he got it. Like, he literally asked the director.
He's so good in it too. Like, so what a blessing.
And he's, you root for him. You never root for those characters.
Totally. Yeah,
you're always like, fuck those guys. But you're just like, oh, I love him. When he tases the dudes at the
he's
bouncers.
He's a psycho. It's so psycho. Good. Yeah,
I love him, man.
So, all right, at the end of the movie, you have Benji and Ethan.
You have Benji and Ethan. Luther's locked away somewhere. He's like, I need to go somewhere
off grid
to figure out with this hard drive. This hard drive,
yeah. I feel like, you know, it's not quite a Kingo out, like, yeah, but because, like, you know,
but I'm sure we're gonna see him. I reckon he's gonna be in this like space. You remember at the start of X-Men 2 when they've got like Magneto in the plastic prison?
Yeah,
it's gonna be like a thing like that, like a completely offline thing that's like, you know, analog.
Yeah,
so
totally.
We can like look at this hard drive and see it, so it's like can't be affected. Because even remember they're using like old satellites.
The old satellite the entity base, yeah, is, so
like,
good.
It's so cool that bit. Yeah, so I reckon that's gonna be cool. We're gonna see him like figuring shit out, getting in contact with them. But yeah, you're right. We have Benji and Ethan, Grace and Kittredge.
And then you also have Paris.
Yeah, Paris is there.
With Shay and...
I don't know, maybe that's like an IMF.
That's his name. That guy's last name is Tarzan, isn't it?
His middle name. I think it's the actor's middle name.
Right.
Yeah. But I don't know. Do you reckon they're going to be like a makeshift IMF? No,
oh yeah, Greg Tarzan Davis.
Wild middle name.
Yep.
You're just like, there you go. You are Tarzan. I love I loved Phil Collins.
Yeah,
yeah. I love the music of Phil Collins. I've never seen that movie.
Neither. Just they include it as part of the Disney Renaissance, but I don't.
I don't either. Doesn't it end at Emperor's New Groove?
I mean, do you include Hunchback? I know a lot of people like stand for go hard for that movie.
I don't include
it. I saw it at the movies when I was a kid and I thought it was fine. I was like, well, the Renaissance, I was there for the
gargoyles. Isn't the Renaissance like Rescues Down Under? No, Renaissance.
Like, it's technically part of it, but no, I would say it's. But Little Mermaid,
Beauty and the Beast,
Beauty and Aladdin. The Beast.
No, but the ones that like all the films include. Doesn't it even include Basil the Great Mouse Detective?
Technically,
yeah, it's like that. Yeah. Little Mermaid, Rescues Down Under, Aladdin, Lion King, Pocahontas.
Yeah, Pocahontas. I feel like it
Hunchback
almost.
Hunchback of Notre Dame. Mulan.
It should end with Pocahontas. Because that was a flop, but it was like, you know, it was not critically received well.
Mulan, Hercules, Hunchback of Notre Dame, and Emperor's New Groove, Tarzan, Emperor's New Groove.
Right.
But I my real Disney Renaissance starts Chicken Little. I was about to say that starts with Chicken Little, and what's that one?
My favorite Kingdom
Home
Hearts,
Among the Range.
Kingdom Hearts assist character.
Zach Braff's Chicken
so
Little.
So fucking funny that is.
It's insane that they're like, yeah, we can't afford 2D animation anymore. We're making Zach Braff's Chicken Little. Brother Bear, Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah, apparently that one's kind of good.
Apparently the ratio shifts every time it goes from like human to bear. Like half of it's in like
well, that's fine.
16 by 9 and the rest is in like Super CinemaScope or something.
I feel like people say ratio on Twitter.
I love that. It's so
apparently,
funny.
Apparently, one of the bears ratios the other bear.
Yeah, Joaquin Phoenix ratios the villain. But let's not talk about the Renaissance. Let's talk about the Tom Renaissance.
No, I just want to like talk about Pocahontas quickly.
Oh yeah,
because Beauty and the Beast got like Oscar buzz and won Oscars.
Well, that's why they made up Pocahontas.
Yeah, yeah. Jeff Katzenberg was like,
it's like, you got to make this. And he's like, and we'll do this dumb little lion movie on the side with our B.
Yeah, exactly.
And like the A team was on Pocahontas, and it sucked.
Mr. T ate shit on that movie.
But then they were like, were they with Pocahontas? They're like, oh, it's not that kitty. Can you add like 10 animals that are her friends? So remember, like, yeah, she has like
Flit and
remember she has a bird the and like a raccoon and like a tree.
The just bird's kept, name is Flit.
They just kept adding shit.
Because that raccoon's massive in Japan.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Japanese people are weird love as raccoons. Shit. I love them, but they're also weird as hell. But yeah, they were just like, oh, it's actually really serious. Yeah, add more animal friends. And it was just like, no, man. It's...
Yeah. But so yeah, we've got Paris with Shay and they would take her, right? So
I guess, but at the end she's also like, I'm with Kittredge now, like maybe she's now part of
Paris is?
Sorry, not Paris.
So I feel like Grace. Paris is with Shay and the other dude.
Yeah.
And
because he's like, we have a pulse.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And then yeah, Kittredge is with Grace, is with Kittredge.
Yeah.
Kittredge is maybe bad, maybe not.
We don't know. Yeah, like, and I think that's on purpose that we don't know this stuff.
And then we have Ethan and Benji, who I guess are like, they're gonna get trying.
Okay, sky winging some more or whatever they're doing.
And then we have Gabrielle. I'm like, yeah, what I want the most is like to have Gabrielle communicating directly with the entity instead of just representing it.
Well, I think he has to. I'm sure he's going to go to it now with his tail between his legs. Well,
why does he need to go anywhere to it? Like, does it kind of
we don't know who approached who first. Like, I think
he doesn't necessarily need to go anywhere is what I mean.
I meant like when I say go to it, like
the entity's house,
like his next interaction. But we don't know who contacted who. Like, I'm sure we're going to find out more. It's still just like, you know, this is like the mystery box movie.
Oh yeah,
like,
exactly. I was so him
standing there. I love when he takes the glasses off and he's disappeared and he's like, which is like, that whole thing is so sick.
So
like,
clever.
That's such a good way of showing how the entity works. Just like, it like actually can disappear you.
Much better than it being a fucking screensaver and a helicopter noise.
Yeah. But not as good as Cyborg hacking into like banks and giving someone money. Is that in the Snyder Cut?
Yeah, I think so.
It's wild, isn't he? Just like, doesn't he like steal money or makes like a woman rich?
Yeah, that's right.
And it's like a 10-minute sequence. Because Zack Snyder's like, this guy is really important.
And now, a word from our really, really great sponsors. Trust me, I know a lot about good deals, folks, and this is a great deal.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
What's his Star Wars bullshit called again? Like something moon?
I don't know. Rebel Moon. So what's that movie everyone's talking about? The Supes one? The smell of
what's his that fucking actor's name again?
Jim Caviezel.
Yeah, Caviezel's new one. And it's so first I heard about it because Mel Gibson made a video.
I sent you that video, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing.
And then it's like Supes made a video.
You can smell the alcohol in that video. But what's funny is I thought everyone is talking about this movie, The Sound of Freedom, it's called.
Yep.
Everybody's talking about this film on the internet. And I was like, I didn't know that Zack Snyder's Netflix movie was out yet because it was like spoken about with the same like fever and as Snyder Cut dudes.
Yeah.
But it's like QAnon adjacent, this film. Like the guy who it's about, so it's like a movie about child trafficking.
Yeah.
And the guy that it's about is like a guy who's like been on like he's just like dude who subscribed, like he was like an ex-soldier or something and subscribed to like QAnon theories. But Jim Caviezel does as well. He's like a guy who thinks that like there's like, you know, like a cartel of like famous politicians who eat babies and stuff. Like he said this openly on like,
and there are tunnels like beneath all the cities.
Yeah, and that babies are like mined for this like this like chemical name, which isn't a real name, but like just crazy. And it's like apparently the movie is just like straight up not that. It's just plain and boring, but it's like the it's that dangerousness of like having fringe people on the out. Like I've read a lot of reviews today for people who like hate what this movie stands for. And they're like, oh, the worst part about it is it's just like a very boring Taken style movie.
Right.
But like all of the fervor around it is like coded with all this QAnon stuff and it's not that exciting. Like it's they don't mention that stuff in it.
So crazy.
But apparently the credits, it's the like Jim Caviezel pops up and he's like, hey guys, you can join the fight now. And there's a QR code and you can just like join the fight against child trafficking. And it feels like Kony 2012-ish. It's like, and you can donate $75 when you sit there. And it's like, where's this money going to? Also, you know, the movie was made in 2018 and has just been sitting on a shelf for 5 years.
Well, yeah, it was like, it was Fox owned it.
And, yeah, and then Disney dumped it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's insane. I'm like, I want to watch it for free.
I don't want to watch it at all.
I'm curious to see like what, like as somebody who's like, you know, someone who watches stuff, not just for pleasure, but is like, I need to understand how this movie exists. I think it was a Rolling Stone did a great review and they went to like a Manhattan screening or something, but they're like, the whole theater was just full of like white haired people reading out things on screen. Like it was all old people who fall for QAnon shit.
Dude.
And they were just like, the opening scene said, like, it says like based on a true story. And the author's like, journalist is like, I knew that because like an old man next to me just read it out loud, despite being in a theater, like just read out any text that was on screen. And he was like, I've never been at a theater where there was like this much coughing constantly, just and choking. They're just like, it was just a sea of white haired people that are like,
I gotta play the Supes.
Yeah.
Reaction to it. It's so insane.
Yeah.
There's a film in theaters right now that you guys absolutely have to go support.
Can you just pause for a minute? The best part is he has a Superman, he has a Superman like snapback on and also like a like Infinity Gauntlet sitting behind him, but he's just talking about this QAnon movie. It's the best.
I want to preface this by saying this video is not paid for. As a matter of fact, I found out that this movie existed 2 days ago. Variety has deemed this film the summer's unlikely box office hit because people are rallying behind this movie, and here's why. This film tells the true story of Tim Ballard, who worked for the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and then quit his job to start his own organization that conducts rescue missions to stop child traffickers and save kids from around the world. This is not an easy film to watch, and it does not hold back in exposing the horrors behind child trafficking, but it's made with the intention of spreading awareness and helping people get involved to stop child traffickers around the world. The reason you probably haven't heard about this movie is because it's being distributed by Angel Studios, which was just founded 2 years ago. But originally, this film was set to release by 20th Century Fox, but when Disney bought Fox, they shelved the movie. The film was completed
That's like Jim Caviezel and all these other people are like, Disney don't want this out because they're in bed with all the like child traffickers. Like that's one of the narratives now.
Amazing.
That people have bought into.
Yep.
And did you see that weird crazy woman on TikTok being like, they're trying to make us not watch this movie because the aircon's not working in the theater, and going out and like yelling at the staff, like this middle American woman.
Oh my
and
God.
It's like, no, it's just literally the aircon isn't working and we're really sorry, we can refund you. And they're like, no, you're trying to stop us from watching the truth. It's like, this is just like a super average movie about like a guy who kind of lied about all of these like child traffickers, like potentially child trafficked people he freed. It's just like, we're not silencing you. Like you can go watch it. It's just like people are like acting like Snyder Cut. That's what I meant. Like they're like treating this like it's this. They don't want you to watch this. Disney dumped it. It's like, no man, it's just a bad movie by like a QAnon guy. Like it's not some like it's actually more boring than as exciting. And like with all conspiracy theories, the truth is far more boring than the, you know, the wild.
It's like the guy that they made the Hot Cheetos guy movie, and it turns out he lied
about it. Oh, he lied about that. Yeah, because it's a way better story.
Yeah.
Of course, make a lie about it. Has Soups weighed in on that yet?
The Hot Cheeto guy? No.
Guys, I have just found out about the Hot Cheetos movie.
Yeah.
And it is crazy.
I didn't even know about this movie until 2 days ago.
I didn't know about this, but then I like ate some Cheetos. Dude. Guys, who do you think would win in a fight between QAnon and Quantumania? Who would you rather? Where would you rather be stuck? But QAnon?
We've got his call to arms at the end is the funniest.
Oh, but you know he quotes The Last Jedi when he says
that. That's what I want to do.
It's insane.
Released and is making some big noise at the box office despite little to
big
no
noise.
Market. The budget of this film was $14.5 million and it's already generated $40 million at the box office within its first 6 days of release. This film is the spark that's lighting the fire that's going to stop child traffickers around the world. You guys should definitely go check out our Wild Cynthia right now, and also check out Tim's company and see how you can help get involved. And
so I think that's what flashes up at the end of the movie
against stopping child traffickers around the world. Share this video with your friends and let's continue to make this movie as big as it can possibly be. There's a film.
It's just, dude, yeah. It's insane, but it's also just like the other thing is like it's the Kony 2012 thing because they're just like yeah, child trafficking is real, but I don't think it's like the epidemic that this movie makes it out to be, where like 90% of kids are trafficked. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's a very real thing, but it's also like such an easy thing to get people to be on side with.
Oh, Mel Gibson made this movie.
He produced it, I think. Or right. maybe, yeah. But it's like, it's also like, I think it's such an easy thing to get people on board with who are like, you know, it's like being like, how bad is child trafficking? Like, everyone's going to agree with you.
Yeah. Pretty, I should have. Why does everyone say Mel Gibson made it? Oh, is Angel Studios his?
I don't know. Bro, do I look fucking QAnon to you?
You're Mel Gibson's biggest fan. You're a big fan of My Dad's Classmate. That's wild as fuck, right?
What is?
My dad was in the same like class as Mel Gibson.
I don't know this.
Yeah, he went to the same high school I did.
Oh, wow. Leo's.
Yeah.
What, did he ever talk about Mel?
He just said that like Mel was like pretty quiet.
Big things coming.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
No, Mel Gibson's in this movie.
Sure.
Right, there you go. Okay, I'm glad we figured that out.
Supes and Mel collab when?
Oh, imagine if Supes is in Dead Reckoning.
No way.
Oh, yeah, here's one question I want answered. Who is the voice that reads out the missions to Ethan?
I don't know.
Who is that?
In this one, it's Kittredge.
Is it Kittredge?
It's
right.
Kittredge at this one.
Okay, right, like, sure.
Ethan, it's been some time since we last spoke.
Yeah, like, right. He sounds like Spader, James Spader.
Oh, no. It changes in each movie, but in this one, it's Kittredge. And he also does the like closing monologue.
Okay, sweet. Your mission, should you choose to accept?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know where we're going to go on the next one. Like mentally, physically.
Oh man, so excited. I know one place we're going, and that's on some old ass planes.
Yeah, we're going on an old plane in South Africa. I know that much. Yeah, and obviously we're going to like maybe the ice.
Right.
The Dead Reckoning. Do you love when they say the title?
Yes.
And they also say the fallout in Fallout.
Yep.
He's like, Ethan, the fallout from your actions, you thought they wouldn't catch up or something like that. That's so sick. Love when they chuck in that shit.
So you were saying you were some kind of Suicide Squad.
So what? You're saying we're some kind of Mission Impossible?
Dead Reckoning.
The IMF, one. Sir. That bit's great at the start. The
impossible Mission Force.
And they just explain what it is.
Yeah.
They do what we can. We leave word. So you're saying there's a group of people
leave
word?
Should they choose to accept.
Should they choose to accept. Yeah. It's such a good movie.
Yeah.
Man, if I was the Broccolis right now, I'd be like, what the fuck do we do?
The Waterleys?
The people that run Bond.
Oh, yeah. Forget this. Like, the Barbara Broccoli.
Albert Broccoli. Barbara Broccoli. Yeah, it rules.
I mean, you just make a good one. I feel like you stop trying to like be meta and just make a fucking cool spy movie.
Yeah, but like, I'm like, how do you compete cool with Tom Cruise doing stunts and Chris McQuarrie? Like,
nah, you just make a cool one.
Like, either
you don't try and do any, like, you don't stop doing the like, oh my god, it's this thing back for, it's the Moonraker, you know, like,
yeah,
you
don't, they don't do that.
You just, I know, but like, oh, they kind of do. It's the Aston Martin,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, I feel like all other, I've been wondering, all the big,
where do you
now
go from here? Because it's so funny, like, it's not so funny, but like, the Bond movies are obviously formulaic to a point where, you know, the later ones did reinvent it a bit, and also the lead star was like, James Bond's a fucking moron. Like, he was so open about how much that character's a terrible person.
Yeah.
And then like, Ethan Hunt's not those things, and it's so funny because Mission Impossible was like this new franchise that, you know, 30 years after Bond films, like, was like, oh, we're going to try doing another spy series. And there's like very few spy series worked. In fact, they didn't. Because Bond reigns supreme.
Yeah.
And then this series has completely eclipsed it, I think. Like, obviously hasn't had the cultural mainstay. But in terms of actual, like, film quality, there's probably, like, three good Bond movies that are actually, like, good films that happen to also star, like, James Bond. You know what I mean? Like, they are a formula unto themselves and, like, a very classic Hollywood thing. But it's so interesting seeing how these are, like, far more appreciated by, like, film fans and film nerds and, like, people who enjoy cinema. Even though they're like elevated action films. But it's just like, where do you go from here? Like, Chris McQuarrie and Tom Cruise, like, they make the highest grossing movies, like, together. What, no Bond has peaked that high for so long. Like, what do you do? Like, I hope they don't reduce Bond to a fucking streaming service.
You don't make, you always make films and you always release them in cinema, but I would like them to try and do like a low budget Bond. That'd be,
you want them to do a Bond
sick,
where it's just like a gun. You know what I mean? Like, he just has a gun.
Gun and a tower. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly, yeah. Oh, no, you do want some Q. Like,
but you have, the but I mean, like, Q. He just has a gun. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You have, like, Q.
It's a gun have, like, that can shoot sideways
like,
or something.
Yeah, or, like, a watch that does something. Like, yeah. Very minimal. You just wanted to, like, really strip it down.
And you know who I'd love to do the Bond song? Like, you know, they always get, like, a big pop star.
I'm trying to think.
King Krul. How good would him do
he'd be insane. Bond song? Yeah.
Like this, I want them to make a low budget, moody,
that'd be sick.
Cool Bond. Like, yeah. I remember, like, you know, when Casino Royale came out, everyone was like,
Casino Royale was like a stripped back Bond.
And it, yeah, but stripping back even further.
Oh, he's further. Yeah.
And like, yeah.
It would be insane if they get like Nolan to do one.
Yeah. No,
which he already did with Tenet. And he's like, it's like better than any Bond movie, I think.
Yeah. So yeah, getting the trailer for Oppenheimer. It's fucking exciting. So
reviews were coming out today, like non-spoiler ones, but they're just like his masterpiece.
Yeah, but it is that like...
Yeah.
It's like,
but then that's what they said about
Death Reckoning. It's a bunch of Soupses that just came out that just saw it.
What's worse, Soups or Chris Nolan's Soups?
I can't wait for Soups to be really into nuclear weapons after Oppenheimer.
So I found out about this guy the other day. Turns out he actually dropped a bomb. I had no idea until 2 days ago.
I thought it was the black gay guy from Eternals.
I thought Kevin Feige invented World War II. This is crazy. Damn, I that big arm freak is about the only thing I got going for me these days.
He's so funny, man.
It's funny.
I forgot about him for a while, and then like five of his videos appeared.
It's funny
like,
just seeing like people pile on him constantly.
Well,
like,
he represents everything that sucks
that we hate about movies. Yeah. Like, because apparently I was reading like a lot of comments under him. People like, when did this guy become big? And do you know what shot him to fame? His weekly WandaVision. He was like the big Mephisto guy.
His
weekly
fuck.
WandaVision.
Like recaps.
Not recaps, but like, did you see this thing in the background? That means Mephisto is going to be in the next episode. The guy who like, he basically was like, went on Wikipedia, went on Reddit, and then claimed, but he was the guy that made a lot of those predictions that purposely didn't come true, but just for 8 weeks became very big because he would drop on a week being like, this happened here and I'm reading this off Wikipedia, but you know, like,
yeah, right.
And I think that's what shot him to fame.
Man, we were really desperate for entertainment during that year.
Yeah, it wasn't just...
The movies weren't back.
It wasn't just... what's that show? Ted Lasso that we... Like, yeah, everything we watched was... Oh, man, all that Deadpool stuff.
Oh, fucking...
Just like, why is this happening?
I could not care.
Like, why is it... Like, it just feels like something from, like, years
ago. Like, it's mildly amusing if they bring back these recognizable actors as characters only to have them die. Like,
yeah, like in Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah, like I think it's going to, like someone said that, like, because there is a pretty popular comic called Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe.
Well, I think that's what they're doing. You saw that shot, didn't you?
The 20th Century Fox in the background, yeah. So Hugh Jackman, you know, he's like, he like Wolverine usually doesn't have sleeves.
Yeah.
But apparently he suffers from skin cancers pretty severely. Oh. So he asked for the sleeves.
That sucks.
That's what I saw. Yeah.
I mean, that sucks that he suffers skin cancers. Yeah. He looks great though.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I meant like buff size. Like he looks great. Like you don't need sleeves to know that he's ripped. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
It is just funny that, you know, we are still in an era where there's... It's funny that like 23 years ago, I don't know, if they just black leather suits and now everyone's like, we got a yellow suit. And it's like,
yes, we won.
It's just what are you talking about? It's so funny.
Yeah.
I just don't get it.
I just like, I need all this shit to just go away.
Same.
For a while.
Did you see like James Mangold being like, he's like so uninterested and disappointed in this film's existence.
Really?
Yeah. I'm definitely paraphrasing, but essentially he's just like, oh, you know, he's dead if you ask me. Like that's what happened. In like, this is like, essentially he was just saying like this cheapens like Logan.
Yeah.
Like the farewell. Remember remember when he's like, this is the final time I'm playing this character?
Yeah, totally.
And then Ryan's like, hey, fuckface. Yeah. Want to start a fucking movie with me? It's going to be like that season one and two era Rick and Morty humor, right? Just like they're going to make so many jokes about Wolverine X-Men Origins.
Yeah.
Them starring in that together. I just like don't have it in me.
No, you know what I mean? This is my year where I just only do things that I know I'm going to like.
Like I don't have that.
Or it's like, you know, well, is this a new thing that I'll like?
I just don't have it in me. This weird transitional movie that's like making money about the fact that they own all these characters now, but is selling it to us as a, like a, oh, we know those movies are kind of lame and embarrassing. You know what I mean? It's just like, no, it's just like, all you got, you're making money still out of
it. Like, I'll always watch new Pixar movies. And like, if Disney try new animated stuff, I'll give that a shot too. But like, I'm out on, I'm considering watching the first episode of Ahsoka. That trailer did nothing for me.
Mm. It wouldn't if you don't know anyone in it.
Well, I mean, I've read a few books with blue guy in it.
Thrawn.
Exactly. I'm glad that Rebels fans get this live action thing that extends their.
Yeah, for me, I was like, the story. Oh, baby.
Yeah.
And the music was great too.
But it, like, I'm just viewing it as that now. It's not greater Star Wars now. Mm. Now it is like, you know, it's
Star Wars fans.
It's, you know, it's me. Like, I would never expect you to be excited about the Venture Brothers movie in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, it comes out the same day as fucking Barbie and Oppenheimer.
That's really funny.
So, I mean, yeah, is that a week away?
Yeah, it's next week.
Oh, fuck. That's awesome.
Yeah, Barbie Oppenheimer is next Thursday.
Barbie and Oppenheimer, Pikmin 4 and Venture Brothers movie.
Shit, dude.
That's a fucking content avalanche. But like, you know what I mean? Like, I think it's past the point. I'm not even that casual about Star Wars stuff. I'm pretty tapped out on.
Yeah,
on
you gotta Disney save Plus yourself, stuff. You know? Save yourself for the movie or something.
Yeah, or rewatch the shit I know I like already. Totally. Andor was so good though.
Andor was so good. Andor was amazing.
Was Andor this year?
Last year. Yeah, Andor was incredible. Andor was like the fucking S rank.
Yeah.
It's like the best TV show I've seen in years.
So funny that they were like, yeah, Secret Invasion's gonna be the Marvel's Andor. No, it isn't.
Sure that like Ben Mendelsohn might be in both, but other than that.
You know, they killed the other female character last week.
Which one?
Emilia Clarke.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did people die in this?
I think I'm pretty sure she's not going to be dead, but like, yeah, no, that
I've,
was like the,
I've not. I didn't watch anything.
It. I'm still morbidly like curious as to like what's happening in that show.
Apparently, just people talking, right?
Dude, it seems so boring.
Yeah,
but like that's all Andor was in, and it rocked.
No, Andor wasn't just that. It was not just people sitting around in chairs.
But I'm sure a layman might say it was just people talking.
It was. I reckon people thought it was going to be that. It wasn't at all. Look at the jail episode run,
brother.
The fucking like. The star shower one where they like are on that planet and steal the ship, the TIE fighter, and Kino, the meteor shower.
My favorite character.
Dude, it's the greatest show.
Yeah.
It's so good. Did you see Mon Mothma, the same actress as in Ahsoka?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like they're doing that to try and bait me.
No, I mean, she's
not going to work.
She's in that period.
No, like, she's not going
to
work.
It's said immediately after Return of the Jedi. They're not going, let's put the redhead girl from the Andor series.
No, I like that Levins can watch it. She's been like, she's become like a main character.
It's great. Yeah. Well, because she was in deleted scenes on Revenge of the Sith. You know that?
No, I didn't know that.
So she was cast in 2000 to be Mon Mothma in Revenge of the Sith, like young Mon Mothma. Then 20 years passed. Whoops. Sorry. Maybe like less than 20 years past, 15 years past, and she plays her in Rogue One.
Right.
Like she's aged up more, and then they go to Andor and now this, and now she's just like the girl you get when you need Mon Mothma.
Let's get it.
Fuck, I'm so excited for Andor season 2.
Yeah, but it feels like that's going to be ages away because of the strike. Yeah,
let them cook.
Yeah, absolutely. Let the fucking studios Tony Gilroy roast.
Cook. Yeah. Let them
hemorrhage some money and then have to pay Top Dollar to get the writers back.
That's all I want.
Yeah. The trailers before Mission Impossible, was 16 Oppenheimer because I haven't actually seen any of the trailers yet. So that was my first time seeing it.
Yeah, nice. It's the way that Chris Nolan would have wanted you to see it.
And then, I really want to see the Dune trailer on a big screen.
I've seen it on a big screen when I saw something recently. They Mission played Impossible, it.
Mission Impossible, probably.
Yeah, they played it at a. Oh, you know what? It might have been when I saw the press screening for Mission Impossible.
I'm very excited for Dune 2.
Same.
Dune.
That first movie is so good.
Is that December?
Yeah. November or December.
And then the month after is Wonka.
Just the big Tim season, isn't it?
Chocolate.
Movies are back.
Yeah.
Dude, we are so back.
So Asteroid City comes out in Australia like still August, like,
and it's out on streaming.
God damn it.
Yeah. I
should watch it on the TV.
No, don't.
No, sorry. On at the movies.
Of course you should. Movies are back.
Yeah, you're right.
Movies. I'm going to go see it on TV's a TV's out.
Yeah.
I've started a Spielberg season. I'm going through every Spielberg movie that he produced, directed, or executive produced.
Yes, go full
not tilt. TV series. No, though.
You're not going to do
Tiny Toons and Animaniacs and what's the, Amazing what's Stories.
Under the Sea one?
Oh, Sequest, DSV. Sequest,
yeah, yeah.
Nah, it's just cinema.
Steven Spielberg's Under the Sea.
Yeah, I'm just doing cinema. So, but that's cool. That's like Goonies, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Gremlins. Right,
let me know when you're watching these things. Oh, especially if you're going to do Gremlins. I know he didn't produce Gremlins 2, but can we watch Gremlins
2? Did he EP Gremlins 2?
Let's just say he did.
I think they're all Amblin, aren't they?
Okay. Yeah.
I'm watching like anything that's like okay, Amblin. Just,
can you give me, maybe on PayFam, can you post a schedule?
Yeah, I'm getting a list. Like I'm putting together a list.
Because
like,
I'll watch along a lot. I want to, basically like I want to try and watch like two movies a week minimum.
Yeah. Spielberg's such a good like, yeah. Man, have you watched Duel? He's like first
I've always movie. Wanted to.
I've rented it. It's on iTunes. Okay. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really good.
Would you rent that or Pain and Gain first?
On your Pain and Gain.
Okay.
Yeah, good. Pain and Gain.
I just like nothing. I'm just thinking about being at home by myself. watching Mark Wahlberg.
I love you just like, can't wait for these little fucks to go to school so I can watch. Man, so you know that means I'm going to watch like American Tail?
I mean, like I know a lot about that era of that animation. That'd be really fun movies.
Yeah, it's all like Amblin stuff, right?
Yeah, well, and also like it's, what's his name? Don... the cartoonist who left Disney to then go start his own studio, and then but then
Don DeLuise that's the voice actor Amblination. So I think that means I'm going to be watching like We're Back.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad ones. There's a Tiny Toons movie. Does that count?
Yeah.
So How look I Spent at, look, My Summer. Don Bluth is what I was
Don Bluth. So it includes I Want to Hold Your Hand, like the Robert Zemeckis Beatles movie. About those people that go to like watch the Beatles.
I've never seen that.
That's from 1978. Used Cars, Back to the Future, Gremlins. Oh, you're right. He didn't do Gremlins 2.
No, Gremlins 2 is in the 90s. So you might...
Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Oh, yeah. Gremlins 2 is that. Tiny Toons, How I Spent My Summer Vacation. Of course, that's the movie, yep. Isn't it?
Wow.
So I'm watching all this stuff.
Oh, hell yeah, man. That's awesome.
Casper?
What?
Dude, Deep Impact, Mask of Zorro.
It's an Amblin movie. Of
yeah, course. Jurassic Park 3. Dude, I'm doing all the Transformers.
The Amblin movies?
They're all produced by Steven Spielberg. He's That's an EP so of weird. Them.
He produced Lovely True Grit?
Yeah. What? Dude, wait too soon. He did. It means I have to watch Dominion Finally, and Men in Black.
Jurassic World Dominion. Oh, yeah. My God.
Transformers 1. What's that?
That's the next one. It's a working title, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I have to watch all of these in order.
Don Bluth is the guy who like left.
Yeah, he left Disney and did and
during like their dark ages. Yeah. And then started Secret his of own. Nim. Yeah, Secret of Nim, American Tail, Land Before Time, All Dogs Go to Heaven, Anastasia, which is his only like proper. Well, American Tail is a hit, and Land Before Time is like somewhat of a hit.
But what, Land Before Time wasn't a hit.
Well, like it did really well on home video. But it wasn't massive at the Hutt. Box. Yeah, exactly.
The Pizza Hut tie-in is iconic.
It wasn't massive at the box office, I think.
Dude, I remember thinking it was like the most successful movie of all time as a kid.
Littlefoot. Reception. So it did $85 million worldwide. Actually, yeah, that's definitely a hit. But I think, yeah.
I just heard about this movie the other day, Land Before Time. His budget.
I just remember like Anastasia is like one of his, yeah, that's his biggest hit. Is Anastasia the Fox.
Who made that? Oh, it was Fox. Yeah, I remember that came out like 97, right?
But so now it's like in the Disney, they keep it in the, like with all the other princess movies.
That's even so though funny.
It's like made in opposition to them. But yeah, it that's his highest grossing movie, $140 million. But then he made...
Shit, I didn't realize that made that much money.
He also like, he did the game Dragon's Lair.
He did all the animation for it.
Which is like, I love the animation so much. Yeah. But then he did Titan AE.
Oh yeah. Was that Fox as well?
I think so. And that's like the
last. Now, did that come out the same time as Treasure Planet? So yes. I get them so confused.
So that's one like an era that I would love to like do. I feel like watching the both of them.
I get that shit confused because they seem like, and wasn't Treasure Planet like the guys who did Little Mermaid and Lion King. This is our passion project. We've been wanting to make this for years.
So like one group, Clements and it's like Ron Clements and something else. No, wait, they're the music guys. I can't remember.
Oh, yeah.
But
it was the guys who had all those mega hits. And like, that was their like blank check movie, wasn't it? They were like, we've been wanting to make this forever. Like
it looks so weird and cool. I've never, you know, what so it looks psycho. John Musker and Ron Clements, the directors. Yeah,
it looks insane. It's like robot pirates, right, in the future.
Yeah,
It and looks sick.
Yeah. And it's Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Huge.
Yeah, I really want to see it. It looks so odd. Because they did that. And then what was the Michael J. Fox one as well? They had two big weird bombs in a row. Disney did.
What was the Michael J. Fox one? Lost City of Atlantis.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's the third one I get confused.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Because they're all so similar, aren't they?
Totally. Yeah. Yeah.
They're all like adventure coded.
Yeah. So Ron Clements and Musker, they do Great Mouse Detective, Little Mermaid, Aladdin, Hercules,
hits,
Treasure Planet,
hits,
bomb.
Yeah.
And then they do Princess and the Frog and then Moana.
Oh, okay. Moana is just like mega hit.
But also Princess and the Frog is like beloved as well.
Yeah, but it wasn't like a mega, mega hit like Moana.
Yeah.
Didn't do Moana money.
That's true. It's not being remade. I guarantee you we're a year away from it being remade.
Yeah. The Rock isn't remaking it. He plays the Frog. Damn.
Yeah. Banger eps.
Movies are back.
They are, apparently.
So glad we have something to talk
Everyone's
about.
Everyone's talking about it.
Yeah.
So are we going to see samples of the Hey Fam merch very soon?
Yeah. I mean, you know, they've been paid for and they got the t-shirt sizes now.
Kitty.
I think we'll be getting photos really soon.
Have we got one for Kitty?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
I don't remember what the other one is. We've referenced what one of them is.
It's a...
Oh, fuck yeah. Yeah. Oh, hell yeah. That's great.
Yeah, it's great.
I forgot just that's the other one.
Huge photo.
Oh, that rules so much.
With the hat.
Yeah. Okay. So that's your clue. Hat.
Yeah.
Hat. And the reference from earlier.
The other clue was if you're in the Discord, a place that they can't print them because we don't have the rights of these people.
Yeah.
So we found a place who isn't as successful. And was like, we'll print whatever you want.
Yeah, that's great.
And this place looks great. They do really high quality stuff.
Yeah, it's like these are premium tees.
Yeah, these aren't just like
shitty iron.
These are
transfers.
Like screen printed. They're like proper. It's amazing.
So yeah, three color screen print. Is that right?
Four color screen print. Oh, it looks insane.
Fourth color, bro.
Yeah, yeah. It's like it looks crazy.
4D chest.
We'll drop it. I'm so excited for you guys. And we took all the sizing information from the Patreon and doubled that. Essentially, adapted that.
Yeah, yeah. So. We've doubled it. So now all you 4XL motherfuckers getting 8XL.
Yeah. Dubs needs a shirt too.
Thanks for listening, everyone. See you next week.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.